This is going to be difficult for you to understand sometimes, and it's difficult for me to sometimes too. I wish God sometime would check with me about what he's going to do. And I'm wishing in vain, because he does not have to check with me about what he's going to do and about the way he's going to use me to do what he's going to do. Sister Linda, if I could sing. This is where I am. Man. God is real. And in the red hymnal, I knew the number is 249. Can't sing it. Might not be in tune. But this one thing I do know. My God is real. Even if sometimes I can't feel him deep down in my soul, I know without a shadow of a doubt that my God is real. Why do you say that, Baggett? Because where I am now, if God was not real, I wouldn't be standing. And if you know me, you know I'm a water bag. I cry. Because when I think about how good God, this might not be grammatically correct, done already been to me, I can't but help but cry. Because he been good to me. He have allowed me, and I'm going to preach. He have allowed me to do and say some things that I could not have done by myself. For instance, and don't feel sorry for me. Just pray for me. Being able to stand and preach the last 5 or 6 weeks, God had to hold me up. Because I could have asked him to preach, or Sister Jones was over there and Sister Wheeler, I could have asked any of them to preach and they would have preached. But God said, you preach. And I preached. I stand here right now, and Minister Allen, you and Deacon Brunson are going to have to help me out. She's going to get me, but I stand here right now and my legs are hurting me so bad. But he said, preach. And the message, that the title of the message is trust in God. And what he's telling me, y'all, is that you have been telling everybody else, help me, Holy Ghost, what they need to do. And they've been believing in you, but now I want you to tell them, and you be an example of what I'll do. I left the house this morning at 8 o'clock. They were hurting just like they're hurting now. And said, I told one of our members, she's in the hospital and stepped down. I got the call yesterday. I said, I'll see you in the morning. And I went down there and she was laying in the bed, Sister Ollie Russell. She was laying in the bed and she said, Pastor, I'm hurting right now. And I God said, tell her it's going to be all right. And that's what I told her, and that's what I prayed. And to show you how God is, standing there at the side of that bed, I was hurting. When I started to pray, and when I finished, I felt no pain. I felt no. And God, sometimes he takes you from telling people to living to show people. And y'all, if you know me, you know I'm real private. My wife asked me the other morning, she said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm okay." Then she said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm okay." Was I hurting? Sure. But I'm okay. That song, Sister Linda, I don't know, but one line in it, "Too close to the mirror." He doesn't see me like I am. He see me like I'm going to be. I know, and I'm helping somebody right now. So you may be in pain, but there is a God that says, "Trust in me." You got to walk sometime, and you got to stop talking the sermon, and you got to live it. You got to live it. A whole lot of us talk them, but when it come down time to living it, we falter by the wayside. But you got to stay with God, and you got to trust in God. No matter the situation you're in, you need to trust in God. I'm going to be in front of you just as long as God will let me stand to preach this message. From the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. Habakkuk was a prophet of God. Also, in being a prophet, he was a musician. He wrote this, and this is a song that they sung, and God let him do this so he could see what God was going to do. Habakkuk was unique among the Old Testament prophets. Rather than speaking to the people on behalf of God, he spoke to God on behalf of the people. Habakkuk pleaded with God, seeking answers to various serious questions that had troubled the human heart since the beginning of time. Habakkuk was, we said earlier, was probably a priest and a musician, a trained musician, and was well acquainted with the worship of the people of Israel. Habakkuk ministered to the people of Judea, the northern kingdom of Israel. The northern kingdom of Israel had already been conquered by the Assyrians. And as a result, the people of Judah was living in fear of the Assyrians. However, Assyria was not the nation that God would use to judge the people. Rather, he used those evil people from Babylon. That's the way he does us. Sometimes we're looking for him to come one way, and he comes some other way because we think we have figured out how he's going to do it this time. Because we know. No, you can't figure out God. Just be patient and wait on the Lord. The final chapter of Habakkuk assures us that God will indeed work all things out for the good of those who truly love him. This example of the prophet teaches us that we must seek answers to the questions that trouble us and the burden and that burdens us directly from the Lord. You can't get an answer from anybody else. You need to get the answer from God because you are his child. We must seek him in prayer and in his written word. Regardless of the answer we receive, whether we fully understand them or not, we must respond to God with thanksgiving and praise. We must trust him to complete his work at its appointed time. Not in my time. Not in your time. We must come to him in prayer and in songs of praise. We need to acknowledge the gracious work of the Lord even as we stand in fear and in awe with what he's going to do. We need to understand, therefore, that he is worthy of our praise and worthy of our trust. The ultimate way to get an answer to all the questions is to pray and to praise Him and to trust in Him. And when you do those things, God will answer you. You might not understand it, but He will. Point number one. When Habakkuk heard God's warning of the coming judgment, intense fear struck in his heart. When he heard about the coming judgment of the Lord, intense fear struck in his heart. He placed his trust in the Lord more then than ever before. He was determined to trust in the Lord no matter what happened. I told you earlier, chapter 3 is a song that was intended to be sung by the entire body of believers. The Lord strengthened the prophet to trust Him despite the coming judgment. In turn, the whole community would be strengthened in their faith through singing of the inspiration of the song of what the prophet told them. We said earlier that the prophet's first response was fear and trembling. He knew judgment was coming, but he could not know the extent of the destruction, nor how devastating it would affect him and his family personally. We know that destruction is going to come. God said it's coming. We don't know how strong it's going to be. And we don't know how it's going to affect us, because we can only see ourselves right now as we are right now. That's why our heart comes with fear when we do not trust in the Lord. If we have all of our trust in Him, doesn't matter what comes, God will see me through. He said over in the New Testament with Jesus, I will not leave you nor forsake you. This means whatever comes, God will see me through. He says that his heart was pounding and his lips were quivering and his inner beings were also trembling. He felt deep death type decay, rottenness within his bone, felt like he was not going to make it, but he was still trusting in God, looking at what's coming. We can only see where we are right now. We can't see 5 minutes from now, but God already sees the 5 minutes from now, but we got to live to get to it. We have to trust in God, leaning and depending on Him. This too shall pass because I'm trusting in God. Amen. He was left trembling in his encounter with God. He also, being a prophet of the people, he also felt the concern of the people due to the great suffering that they would endure. He was a representative of God and a watchman for the people. If you are going to be God's prophet and God's person, you have to love somebody else. You have to love those people that belong to God, because sometimes, help me Holy Ghost, sometimes the people just won't go to God just like they ought to go. And somebody got to go in their stead. This is why sometimes you stand in the gap for somebody else. There's not a believer that is alive that have not stood and prayed for somebody else that they knew were not praying for themselves. Don't ask me how they knew. I don't know how they knew. But God put it in their spirit. You need to pray for this person. And most of the time, it's somebody in your family. You got to pray for them because you know them, because you are talking to God. You are a man or a woman of God, and you constantly talk to God, and God will answer your prayer. God will bring them so far on your prayer till they come to the realization. I know without a shadow of a doubt. I know that my wife and some other people prayed for me before I sure enough came to God. Because if they would not have prayed for me, I would have been a whole lot worse than what I was, because they prayed for me and I knew they were praying for me. She'd get up and leave home every Sunday morning, wouldn't mention to me about going to church. She'd just get up and go. This time of the year, well, She might not would have let Patrick go, went with me on Sunday. But we were getting ready to, it's hunting season now. It's hunting season. I told her the other day, we were talking about Thanksgiving, the kids coming home. I said, yeah, I said, me and Patrick used to get up and go on Thanksgiving morning, and we knew we had to be back to the house by 12 o'clock. We had to be back. We could go, but we had to be back to the house by 12 o'clock. Didn't matter if we didn't eat till 1:30 or 2, but we had to be back by 12. Got up and went. But see, that's why I know she prayed for me. Because now, Thanksgiving Day, I still got the same Remington automatic shotgun in my closet right now. Hold 5 buckshots. And I could shoot them 5 buckshots. Just, it's all over. I either missed them or killed them just that fast. But my point is that she prayed for us that we would come to God. And see, that's what you need to do now. Is pray for somebody else. Doesn't matter the situation. Doesn't matter how bad it is. You still pray. Because she did not see me as I was. She saw me as I was going to be. She saw me serving God. That's the way God sees us. So that person that you praying for that just seemed like they will not come to God. That's all right. You keep praying. You keep praying and trusting in this God that we serve, and he will make everything all right. All of this, you can make it with God because you care for the people, and this is the way he was seen. And I thought about this sometimes when you get to praying for people and it just seem like they're not going to come. They're going to just seem like they get worse and worse. Like the more you pray, the worse they get. Yeah. Uh-huh. I can tell you why. That's to keep you on your knees. That's to keep you on your knees and keep all this. It does two things. It draws them closer, but it makes you also get closer to God. You get closer to God because you keep telling yourself, God, you promised me. You said that you would bring them. God, I'm lifting them up. They don't know that they're out there that far. God, but you promised me in your word that you would save them, God, and I'm expecting. God, please. I do believe. I don't know about nobody else, but I do believe, to me, I pray and beg God more for somebody else than I did for myself. Because I know what God have done for me. And most of the people, well, if not all of them that I pray for, they're in bad shape, just like I was. No matter if you're a sinner and you just think you're in bad shape. Because you don't realize how bad you are. And a skunk can't smell themselves. I ain't calling you no skunk, but I'm just putting it out there. Point number 2. Habakkuk trusted and waited patiently for God's judgment to fall on the invaders. You need to pray and just wait on God. Wait on God to fall on those that you are praying for. You, as a child of God, you will have anxiety and doubt and uncertainty in that God's going to do what he said. And if you keep praying, it won't last long. You'll get an assurance that God will do what he said he will do. And if you're not aware that someone else prayed for you, you won't know how to keep praying for somebody else. You will pray one time and then you will quit. You'll say, well, I prayed for them in church. They asked me to pray for them. I prayed for them there. No, you just keep right on. Keep right on praying. Our feelings stem from looking only at the judgment to come and the fear of going to hell. No, we need to have the fear of the judgment coming. And we also need to see the blessings of God. There's a blessing on the other side of through, but you got to go through to get the blessing that's on the other side. You cannot eat something that's on the outside of this building until you get on the outside of the building. You can't eat it in the building. You have to get out there where it is. So to receive the blessings of God, you got to go through what you're into. Because number one, you have sin is the reason that judgment is coming. And we fail to look at that I'm where I'm, the condition I'm in is because I have sinned. I have done something wrong somewhere. So there are consequences for sin. But then again, as soon as Habakkuk turned his eyes to the Lord, all fear was gone. Peace and calm follows once we get our eyes off the circumstances and get our eyes on the Creator. When we turn our eyes to the Almighty God, the God of our salvation, we'll find hope and faith. We'll know that myself and the people could trust in the Lord to deliver us through even the greatest of persecution. Doesn't matter what you bring on me. Doesn't matter what you do to me. I'm not looking at where I am. I'm looking at where I'm on my way to. We need to keep our eyes focused on the cross, and we will have our eyes focused on the cross. All this other stuff doesn't matter. We need to do like the old farmer did the mule. You need to put blinders on the side, not use your peripheral vision. Use your vision to straight ahead. Keep your eyes on Christ. And when you focus on God and not the situation that you're in, God will provide a way. Because when you keep looking at Christ, all you will see is the encouragement that he has to give you, and you'll keep looking at it, and he'll keep saying, come this way, my child. Your steps are ordered in my word. Keep walking. You don't have to see where you're walking when you have Jesus as your guide. If you just walk in the word of God, God will provide a way for you to escape. You got to keep looking at him. You can't stay where you are. You have to keep moving, because if you stay where you are, the devil will find you. You just got to keep walking with the Lord. You got to stay with him, because God will give you courage to go ahead. I'm glad you asked. Courage is moving ahead in spite of the fear. May not know what's around the corner, but I trust the one that made the corner. He have already made a way. He ordered my steps in his word, and I'm walking, and I'm trusting, and I'm believing in God. God, I thank you for just being God all by yourself. Point number three, I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. Habakkuk was not dependent on somebody else to trust in God for himself. He said, I will trust in the Lord. He declared that he would trust in God even in the midst of destruction, the loss of crops, the loss of livestock, famine. Everything happened. The olives won't bear. The animals are gone out the stall. The nothing bears. But I'm trusting in God. I'm leaning and depending on God. I might not have any money in the checking account, but I'm trusting in God. May not be no food in the pantry, but Lord, you said you would not leave me nor forsake me. I'm trusting in you. I won't trust in myself. I'm the one that got myself in this mess, but I'm trusting in you to get me out of it. I will trust in the Lord. Don't know how, don't know when, but I'm trusting in God. The longer this situation lasts, the better God's going to bless me when I get to going through. If I got to stay a long time, God, I thank you for the blessing. Don't see my way clear. Don't trust myself no more, God, but I'm trusting and depending on you. Something may go wrong, but it won't go wrong if it's in your hand. It's right. I just don't understand it. Don't have anything. Nobody come by to see me, but I'm never lonesome. I got a good company keeper. Don't need no company keeper, because early this morning, he touched me with a finger of love, and I rose, and I I found myself well, and everybody in my family was well. Nobody stopped by, but we all right. God's all right. Don't need a whole lot. Just need a little bit of God in my life, because I will trust in the Lord. Doesn't matter about the situation. You don't see how I'm going to come out of it. I don't either, but I'm trusting in the Lord to get me out of this. I got myself in it, Lord, but I'm depending on you to get me out of it. I'm confessing my sin, and I'm laying it to you. God, you will help me, because you are my father, and a little child asking his father for bread. No, he's going to get it, but you got to trust in him. Complete devastation may seem like it's going to come, but the more devastation come, the more I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm not leaning on myself. I'm trusting in an almighty God. I'm trusting in a God that looked at nothing and said, let there be. I'm trusting in a God that looked at darkness and told light to come out of darkness. That's the God that I'm looking at. Told the water that said in the Bible that there was nothing for his spirit to move on, and he leaned down on the water and said, spirit move, and the spirit moved on the water. But now, but now he doesn't have to tell his spirit to move on the water. He can tell it to move in me. God's all right. I will trust in the Lord. Point number four, I will trust and rejoice in the God who saved me. No matter what, I will trust in the and rejoice in the God who saved me. Why you say that, Baggy? Well, because I was a wretch, undone, on my way to hell, with my eyes wide open, and God saved me. I will rejoice in the Lord, because he's worthy to be rejoiced in. He won't leave me, no matter how bad the situation is, in the midst of it. I keep saying this, y'all, but it's time to stop saying it. It's time to live it. In the midst of all my troubles, I need to throw up both hands and just start praising the Lord any kind of way that he allows me to praise him. I need to just praise him. The situation didn't come here to stay. This too shall pass, because I will trust in the Lord. I will rejoice in the Lord because of the God that saved me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. I wrote this down because I wanted you to hear. It says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But, good God Almighty, but rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, for the name of Christ, happy are we that are his, for the spirit of the glory and of God rested upon me. On their part, he be evil spoken of, but on my part, he is glorified. I'm glorified. He's glorified in all that I'm going through. To God be the glory. Yes, watch me go through this, but I want you to see God getting the glory, because he's worthy to be praised. Point number five, and this is my last point. Believers, help me, Holy Ghost. I got to get through this because I'm in the midst of it. I got to pray and talk to my God. Believers can trust the Lord as our strength. Don't have any strength myself, but I can trust in the Lord as my strength. The Lord made Habakkuk as sure-footed as a deer. I thought about this morning as I was getting to looking at this, going over it finally. I thought about Miss Leela Simmons. Somebody remember Sister Leela? She was one of our soul saints that come through here, and she gave my wife a book a long time time ago, and it's called Hinds Feet. I couldn't slip around and find it this week, but you're going to have to find that book, and I'm going to have to read it. Talk about Hinds Feet. Hinds Feet. Give me sure footness of a Hinds Feet. Talked about a deer that can run up and down the mountain, but its power and its strength is not in its front feet. It's in its Hinds Feet. Hinds Feet. Give him the sure footness that it needs to climb the mountain. Have you seen the mountain goats? They have them perched up on top of mountain. They look like they're strong, and they are, but their hind feet is what give them the strength and the steadiness to walk on. He said here, you make me as sure-footed as my hind feet. My front foot doesn't stop me, doesn't help me, but my hind feet, they balance me. They let me not get off sway. He said, that's the way it is. When you're walking with God, you are sure-footed. There will be no slip. Might look like you're slipping, but the hind feet won't let you go anyplace. I watched some of those movies with the deers jumping across the mountain. They just leap. Nothing seemed to stop them. They usually land on the front feet, but the hind feet, it's hit them and it stop them. God's my hind feet. Nothing I do can get out of the will of God. I can land, but he's my hind feet. He balanced me on the top of the mountain. He balanced me on top of my problem. Won't let nothing stop me. I'm sure-footed because I'm walking with God. Nothing may seem right. Might seem like I'm falling. But you just watching my front foot because it hit first. Watched all of me. Watched my hind foot. My hind feet. They stop me. Can't go anywhere because God directs them. I said he put them on justice and mercy. Grace and mercy. Hold me right here. Won't let me go anywhere because I'm his child. Yes, I will trust in the Lord. I will not lean to my own understanding. Well, let me get to my conclusion. One other thing. No matter what you're in, God will bring you through. He will not leave you in the midst of your trouble. He will bring you through. He'll bring you through. He won't leave you in the midst of it. He'll bring you through it. In the midst of defeat, the people of God would again become victorious. After shame and dishonor, the people would find honor once more. God would not allow them to be scattered, exiled, and lost permanently. Y'all, somebody can take that home with them. No matter how bad it is, God won't leave you there forever. He will regather and restore us again at his appointed time. We cannot comprehend why he allows these things to happen to us or to those we love. But God's word teaches us that through trials and afflictions and tribulation, he will bring us through them. And he does that for many reasons. And a lot of the times, the reasons are for us to get stronger and closer to him. It strengthens us to know that he cares for us. And God will discipline us to force us to turn from our sin. Most of us, if we would not have gotten into something we got into, we still be doing the same old things. But because we got into it, God got us out of it. And that turned us around. I'm not saying go out and do something wicked and weird. So God, no, don't do that. But those things that we did were the things that we thought that we were right in what we were doing. But then we found out that it was not in the will of God. And then we couldn't do that. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11. Said, now no chastening for the present
seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. If you take the word of God and you profit from your mistakes, you will prosper thereby. Trust in the Lord. God disciplines us for our own good. I wrote down here and I put this in quotations. This is hurting me more than it is you. A lot of us in my generation heard those words when you were getting those peach trees. This is hurting me worse than it is you. And that's true. They were suffering. I know that now. But when that was being put on me, you had a hard job convincing me. Because I was in the midst of being disciplined for things that I had done wrong. That's the way it is with God, too. I'm through, but let me tell you this story. I forgot where I got this one from, but I read it somewhere. A man and his bride, they had just finished their marriage ceremony and had spent their honeymoon away from everybody else across the lake. They got in the little boat to go back across the lake to the village where they lived. And as they got in the boat and got started out, a big storm come up. And they were in a small boat and they had on their life jackets and everything, but it was awful bad weather all of a sudden. The bride kept saying, "Baby, I'm scared." She said, "Let's turn around." He said, "We got just as far to go one way as we have the other one." Said, "We're going to be okay." She got scared. She got frustrated. She just got discombobulated, and she just was scared to death. She said, "We're going to die." He said, "No, we're not." "Yes, we are. We're going to die in here. We're never going to get to live." He said, "Baby, we're going to be all right." She kept on, and he just stood up in the boat, reached in his holster and grabbed his sword out, took his sword and put it to her neck. She said, "What you going to do?" She said, "Well, you say you're going to die." He looked at her, with that sword to her throat. He said, "Do you believe I'm going to kill you?" She said, "No." He said, "Why?" She said, "Because you love me." He said, "Well, what about God?" And he took his thing and put it back in his holster. And they crossed the lake. But she had to come to the realization that she was in God's hand. And nothing could happen to her that God would not do. Brothers and sisters, that's where we have to get. We have to get to the place that we know we're in God's hand. And anything that happens to me, it has God's approval. And he see me getting through this. He see me getting through this. Brothers and sisters, and I'm not ready to leave here on this side, but we need to live so. Every day, if this is my last day, I'll wake up in heaven. That's the way you need to live. Every day, because you need to live trusting in God. And if you trust in God, Paul said to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Will you stand? And if you don't know Jesus, this is your day to trust in him.